I know you explained this before, but what are the factors that go into having Aiken open?
Sorry about that. No, you're good.
Normal guys aren't here,
though. The facts are going to play. It's one, where's the shape of our bullpen? You know, what's that looking like? Last time, you know, last time Bassett pitched, we didn't do it. There was a lot of, like, one, we were obviously more than fine with Bassett starting that game, but also Penn was in a rough shape, too. Coming out of the off day with Aiken opening up, he's somewhat platoon neutral. He throws strikes, and also, it might deter them from hitting the lefties at the top of the order and setting up Bassett to go deeper in the game. Kind of very similar to the A's series, the A's game.
Are you happy with having Henderson and Ward 1-2, or with Holiday occasionally factor into being up there?
Yeah, I'm definitely more than happy with Ward and Gunnar hitting top two in the order. With Jackson, it's coming out of long rehab and getting his feet underneath him, getting back acclimated to big league pitching is the biggest thing. And just like all of our guys, and if you produce and playing well, and you merit going up in the order. But with Jackson, we want to set him up for success and not to put too much pressure on him out of the chute is the biggest thing.
On Wednesday after the game, Ben McDonald on Masson had some comments about his view of what he's been seeing on the field and what he views as an over-reliance or misuse of analytics. Just curious, what is this organization's relationship with analytics, and do you think that there is an over-reliance on analytics?
It's a great question. In my opinion, this is my personal take on this. I want more information. Honestly, I love all the information. And all it is just pieces to the puzzle. I think the more information you have, it helps you guide what's happening in the game and your decision making, but it's not the end all be all. I think it's you take all the information you have, and then also you have to watch the game and players' feedback and coaches' feedback, and then you make your decision. Analytics, numbers, data has been along since this game has started. Obviously it just looks different now. It's more granular than batting average and ERA. Now there's actually concrete data points that can give you look underneath the hood of what the player's actually doing. And a lot of numbers are there for evaluation purposes, which to me doesn't matter to me. It's just more of taking the numbers and how can we get our players better? And then also can we find small margins for matchups that can either help us win the game or put our players in the best spot to succeed?
I think you mentioned this before, but how much of it is almost translating analytics for certain players to ideas or concepts that they might understand, as a coaching staff, kind of translating into ways that helps individual players, because obviously no two players are the same.
Right, yeah. And that's the biggest thing. I think I've talked about this before. It's the challenge as a coach is to know your players and know the learner, right? That's the biggest thing. It's each player learns differently and takes in information differently. And how our hitting guys will talk to Pete will be completely different as how they talk to Jackson Holiday. And everyone's different. So it's finding what they like, what information they like, and giving it, appropriately. I think the biggest thing is you want to make your information digestible for all of our players and make it actionable. You don't want to overwhelm them, as simple as, the catcher's card, in game, you don't want it. You could put so much on there, but now you're going to be overloading Sammy and Adley. Right, and they have to make a split second decision on what pitches to call. It has to be something simple or small. It's just a reminder, right? So all those things is what we do is we challenge ourselves is how simple can we make the most complex information.
This is definitely an oversimplification of it, but on the pitching side, the rise of analytics has fostered an environment of increased strikeouts and higher velocity on the pitching side, its launch angle and three true outcomes. Do you feel that baseball is in a better place because of the rise of analytics?
Yeah, for sure. I think it is, personally. I think it's the product out there is what these guys can do on the baseball field is pretty remarkable. And again, just like how baseball started, pitching is always going to be ahead of hitting. And just because everything is reacting off of the pitcher, right? And baseball is the only sport where the offense doesn't have the ball, right? The pitcher has the ball all the time. And with motion capture, biomechanics, and how they can shape pitches now, like it's almost like they're throwing wiffle balls out there. On the hitting side, it's tough to have all the clubs in your bag where, yes, the ability to move the ball forward, I love. Like, I love guys that can make contact, love guys that can work the strike zone, but not every player can physically do that. And so what we're seeing is, on the hitting side, is things are being tailored individually to the player, where they're identifying how they move in the box, their movement signatures, and giving them the tools, how they move in the box and their swings and swing planes. Like some guys, how their body moves, they're gonna have a steeper swing than others. It doesn't matter how much you try to work at it. That's just the anatomy of their body and how they move. So now you have to supplement that with their approach at the plate and what pitches they're looking to hit. So it's just the definition of a cat and mouse game between the two. But ultimately, what you see is the elite of the elite hitters can do everything. And there's a handful of guys that can do everything in this league. And the other guys are game planning and having approaches tailored to either what they can do and also what their pitchers do and try to attack them.
As an offshoot of some of what you were just saying, the human element side, when you have a group that's not getting the return that you'd like, what are you looking for to make sure guys are in the right headspace, that they're, you know, that you're happy with where they are mentally? I mean, are there times where you have to ease off some of that just because some guys, you know, I guess the old expression is sometimes you even need to try easier, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was just thinking about that movie. What is it? Oh, what's that movie? When the guy's trying to learn how to surf, he's like, do less. You literally do nothing. You guys remember that movie? I'm not going to look at Andy. but no, like we were always adjusting, you know, like we, to start the year, like for example, like we used to have a big, all the hitters in a room and have a hitters advance meeting. But now we stripped that down and now it's all individual meetings with our hitting coaches. Because now when you got everyone in that room and players are talking, coaches are talking, and you have movement profiles, videos up there. You know, some guys are in the classroom. Like, there's going to be a handful of students that kind of just shell in the back and don't speak up, right? And they're not going to say that they don't understand. So now it's tailoring everything individually to them. And yeah, we have our own process metrics that we like for each guy. Quality contact, swing decision, all that stuff. And yeah, when they're going through it, if they're checking those boxes of what we like, we give them those wins and say, what you're doing is, it's going to pay off in the long run. You know, and I think that's where, with any baseball player, you're never as bad as you think you are, and you're never as good as you think you are when you're going well. You know, so it's being in the present moment and doubling down on what you do great, and then also working towards how that pitcher is going to attack you that night on the hitting side.
You mentioned like individual hitting meetings, you know, compared to the group. Is that just one of the, like, as this new staff kind of gets to know the group you guys are working with, I assume you guys have changed, you know, various aspects of how you go about things over the course of spring training and during the season. Like, how has that process gone? And is it ever evolving in how you guys approach things as you learn more about players and staff working together?
Yeah, it's always evolving. And that's just my personal take. You know, us as a coach and staff, we have to be unemotional about results, especially wins or losses. You know, it's more of, yes, even though we won the game or won the series or whatever it is, where can we get better? You know, what areas of the series or the game where we weren't good at, even though we won, but where can we improve? Because ultimately, we're all trying to win a World Series. And it's a process to get there, obviously. So we're just trying to literally, any process, we just review everything. Conversations that we have, feedback from the players is the biggest thing, right? Because they go out and play, we don't play. And we want to make sure that everything that we do is tailored to them, and also they're responding to it, you know. And also you have to challenge the players as well to make sure that they're not reverting back to just being what's comfortable, because sometimes being comfortable does not always equal success, right? And we have to challenge our guys to be uncomfortable, and coaching staff as well. Sometimes you have to get out of your comfort zone and have a tough conversation or do things differently than you've done in the past, or get a different idea from someone else on the staff that might work. So we're constantly reevaluating everything we do.
We talked about a little bit or a lot this season, the at-bat quality that you're looking for. And when it comes to paying attention in-game, real life, and watching, but also using the information from underlying metrics, what are you most focused in on when it comes to at-bat quality?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think, are we swinging at pitches in the strike zone that we can do damage on? And are we not chasing outside the strike zone? I think it sounds very basic, but also hitting is hard, you know? And I think we've all seen it with across the league where a hitter goes up there and just waves at three pitches. You know, to me, like there's, to a lot of people, there's not an approach there, you know? So that's gonna happen. You know, it's humans play the game. So we challenge ourselves, how can we make that happen less, right? And how can we double down our conversations to make sure that player, that hitter is going up there equipped to handle that guy? And like Taylor Ward, for example, you know, it's fun watching him hit every night because he has a plan every single time he goes up to plate when he goes to hit. And a lot of times it might result in the strikeout looking. But he is stubborn to what his approach is. You know, and Donnie Ecker talks about this. Well, we were in San Francisco, Dustin as well. It's like you're paying taxes. You know, and it's how much taxes do you want to pay? You know, would you rather have the government take 50% of your money? Or would you rather have it take 20% or 30%? And you have to look at it throughout the course of the year. And sometimes that 20% when you pay taxes might look bad with a strikeout looking in a big time situation, but ultimately it's what you have to do when you're with your approach and what you're trying to do. So that's the biggest thing that we look for, is how are you dealing with the pitcher? Are you being stubborn to your plan? And also, are you not being emotional to what's happening in that at bat? You know, staying on a Taylor Ward example, like he'll have a terrible swing sometimes at pitches, but he's never out of the at-bat. It's just one swing. You can tell he just moves on, and he's still with his approach. And to me, those are kind of like the biggest indicators of at-bat quality.
Kobe Mayo has his swings outside the zone, but actually this year he's cut down the swing at the first pitch by half since his first season. How is he progressing into that type of at-bat quality given his type of hitter profile?
Yeah. Any young hitter, it's tough. No, he's still 24 years old. This is his first kind of like everyday big league time, and the league is going to make adjustments, and he has to make adjustments. And with Kobe, especially with the power he has, you know, historically, look at hitters with power, they tend to chase more. It's always been like that, and not saying it has to be, and that's why this is constant education with Kobe. And what pitches is he hunting in the strike zone to hit and do damage on? But also you have to identify how that pitch is going to attack you. You know, and usually how the game is now, you can kind of tell how the opposing team is going to attack you from your first at-bat. You know, they're going to keep on throwing you, how they're going to throw you until you make an adjustment. And so for us, we challenge all of our hitters to see how each team is approaching you in that first at-bat. and then see if you need to change your approach or be stubborn to what your approach is. And so for Kobe, he's doing a great job of late of getting his pitches that he wants to drive and putting a good swing on them. You know, I think with any hitter where they start scuffling a little bit is when they try to swing their way out of it. And that's when the chase rate goes high and the strikeouts come really high. But Kobe's done a great job as of late of kind of staying even kill in the box and staying within himself of the pitches he can do damage on.
Thank you.